Well, this morning we're looking at Amaziah and Uzziah, the foolish. That's a poor heading for two kings in their lives. But if we go through the kings of Israel, it's a sad thing that many of them continue to disobey God and not pay attention to the laws that God has established. But when we think about the law was given so people would know that they were doing something wrong, okay? But there was nothing from the law that would help them do good. It just pointed out what was wrong. And that's why whenever in the New Testament, you know, it talks about how that the law helping people to know the difference between good and evil, but the Holy Spirit has come to help us do the right things. So here we have, in our lives, we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to not only know what is the right, but also helps us to do what is right. So the Spirit empowers us or strengthens us in our walk and our faith. But of course, we have decisions that we have to make about the law and about what the grace and the favor and the blessing of God is about. So today, the lesson with Amaziah and Uzziah focuses a lot on the pride that these two guys came up with. And they weren't always prideful. They were men who basically started out good, but along the way got caught up in their own fame. And we've seen some of that in our society today. I think some of the athletes, don't have to be an athlete though, but people can be very prideful of what they do, and if you don't flaunt it, then you don't have it. And it's like, you know, in the old days, the concept was if you all show and no go, if you couldn't do what you said you could, well then what good is it? So let our actions speak for us, okay? Well, now it's like let our arrogance speak for us, and maybe we can live up to what we put out there. So anyhow, what are the most pressing problems? And this talks about in the church. What is the most pressing problem in the church today? Well, the commentator says that he believes that it is pride, and that pride goes before destruction, pride comes before a fall. And sometimes I think that in some churches, the people think that it's, you know, that's their own private little social club, and whoever doesn't dress like them or act like them or talk like them, well, you know, they can't belong to their club. Well, the church is the body of Christ, and we have a responsibility to serve God. And our responsibility in serving God is to serve others and to serve each other. So he that is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. So if in Christ, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he has no pride in that he came to be like us so that we could become like him. So we see in the actions of Christ how that his ministry and his life and his teachings were about serving, because Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And our purpose is to do the will of Christ, to do the will of God. And so then we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And so one of the challenges is we need to make sure that we're asking God. See, we can't be assuming that, okay, God, I'm a Christian, and whatever I do today, you help me with, and you know, if I need to say the right thing, you help me. But we need to ask, and we need to give thanks. So if we're asking and giving thanks, then we have a greater chance of recognizing it's God working through us. But if we don't ask, then we're assuming that we're going to be able to do this. And whenever we accomplish it, then we're assuming that, well, God helped me to do this, so it's all about me being, doing, and whatever. And that's where pride can enter in, and we can end up falling. So, and I don't say that everyone who has failed has been pride at the source, but it has. I'm sure that it has something to do with it. So in our lives, we need to be, and it's one thing is that we need to always, pride, we need to do a good job, you know. We can't just get up and go about life and, you know, everything looks in a shams and, you know, looks terrible and we're terrible and we're dressed like a bum, you know. I was at a restaurant and heard this guy talking, you know, and I heard his voice and I knew he was a doctor from somewhere, you know. I had heard him. And, you know, and of course, he's dressed like a bum. and no, we don't want to dress like a bum. He's just dressed and he's unkept, you know, but it's breakfast and it's early in the morning, things like that. So, you know, he probably didn't want to get all dressed up to go to breakfast with some maybe kids or whatever. But during the time, he's trying to teach the kids things and stuff like that. And he did he was doing a very good job. But I just thought, well, you know, you could have looked the part a little better, you know. But man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. But it doesn't mean we should let the outward appearance fall apart. That's my soapbox, you know. That's why I try to always look nice, you know, presentable. Well, Rhonda picks out the clothes, but I iron them. Well, and lately I've been sending them to cleaners because I'm tired ironing. But so I wear them a couple of times and iron them a couple of times and smell them a few times, you know. And if they no, I don't. But right. Well, there's one preacher years ago, and, you know, I didn't go this far, but he wore a tie while he was mowing grass. Because you had to be, you know, you had to look the part. And it was, you know, you would go somewhere and you could pick out a preacher anywhere. You know, oh, that's a preacher. How can you tell? Well, just look at him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the most shocking one was, this was a minister's wife of another denomination, and they were doing a carnival type thing to raise money for the church, and she was in a booth selling beer with a halter top and shorts on. And, you know, for us, years ago, you could not even go in a restaurant that served alcohol, let alone, you know. So, but anyhow. Yeah. Well, this was 40 years ago. So you imagine what it was like. You know, women didn't wear slacks and their, what's that?
No wedding bands.
Some churches, yeah, no wedding bands. Women never cut her hair, you know. It was difficult. Well, some were, you know, yeah, six, yeah, you had to have your, you know, the dress the ladies had to wear below their knees. And when I went to school, we had to wear, the ladies had to wear uniforms. You know, blue uniform, white cuffs, and they had to be, if your knee was showing, they'd send you out of the class. You were not allowed to sit. And, you know, girls run one side, boys run the other. So that's where I went to school. So, but anyhow, what happens is we have to examine our hearts, and we might not see that pride is one of our own faults. However, pride may lead us to a lack of prayer. Pride can lead to selfishness whenever it comes to opinions. Pride can lead us to conflicts whenever we begin to believe our personal opinions are right and other opinions are wrong. Pride is the opposite of love. Paul declares, love does not boast, is not arrogant. Pride is a sign of the end times. There will be terrible times in the last days, and people will be boastful, proud, and abusive. Pride prevents us from confessing our faults and leads to power struggles. And so those are the things that, you know, we need to be aware of, and how that our life, just markers, benchmarks, whatever, that we need to have a sense of pride about who we are, what we do, how we look, whatever, but not pride to the point where we are better than and putting people down and putting people in their place. I think I told you this joke, the story, well, anyhow. The guy walks into church. It's a very formal church. You know, everybody's dressed up, ties, coats, suits, and everything. Guy walks in a tie-dye shirt, a hat, cowboy hat, blue jeans, and cowboy boots. So he walks in and walks down the front and sits down, and everybody's buzzing about him. They go to the pastor and tell him, you know, you need to talk to him about what he's supposed to wear when he comes to our church. So the pastor talked to him. He says, you know, you need to pray and ask Jesus about what you should wear when you come to our church. He says, okay. So the next week, he comes back in a cowboy hat, tie-dye shirt, blue jeans, and his cowboy boots. And the preacher meets him at the door and says, I told you need to ask Jesus about what you should wear to our church. He says, I asked him. He said he didn't know either because he'd never been here. So, I like that one. But there was another one. Guy came in and, you know, he was dressed completely out of character. And, you know, he goes to the front and he sits down. And the, one of the elderly people, one of the stoic people, in the back, he comes walking down and everybody thinks, oh my gosh, what's he going to say to him? He goes down and he sits beside him. You know, he welcomes him to the church and sits with him. So that's what we're about, working with and helping people. Well, in this week's lesson, we learn how two great kings of Judah, Amaziah and Uzziah. Now, we may remember Uzziah because of the book of Isaiah. In chapter 3 or 4, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So Uzziah is a very prominent king. They both, Amaziah and Uzziah, have good things about their life. And in lesson 3, we studied about the life of King Joash, and who replaced his wicked grandmother, Athaliah. And he reigned for 40 years and was considered a very long time at that time. But Joash, his servants, decided they didn't like him anymore, so the servants killed him. They killed the king. And while then his son Amaziah, which is the guy in our lesson today, Amaziah begins his reign. Now, perhaps these servants thought that it was going to be to their advantage to kill Amaziah, the father, so that Amaziah's could reign. Well, Amaziah's, the first thing he did was kill the guys who killed his father. So that was kind of the good thing. What else? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. So here we have Amaziah, and one of the statements about him, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but he wasn't quite whole into it 100%. So in verse 6, it says, he hired almost 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So we know that the Israel's divided into two kingdoms. Israel is the northern kingdom, and Judah is the southern kingdom, consisting of Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. So Amaziah is king of Judah, the southern kingdom. Well, what he does then is he's going to go to battle, and so he goes and hires 100,000 men from Israel to come down and join him and join his 300,000 men in to do battle. Well, and he gave them 100 talents of silver. This is multiple millions of dollars he gave to these guys. So, but there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you. So the prophet comes and says, Amaziah, Don't take those 100,000 men with you. God has promised you the battle, and you don't need them. Well, he already gave them multiple millions of dollars to fight with him. And so, for the Lord is not with Israel. Because the northern tribes, they had forsaken God. They were not serving God. And God is telling Amaziah, you don't need their help to win your battle. So, with the children of Ephraim, but if thou wilt go and do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. So if you take the 100,000 men, you're going to appear to be strong, but you're going to lose. So and the key verse or key section here, or one a couple of key things, is that God has the power to help or to cast down. Okay? The Lord setteth up one and taketh down another. Promotion does not come from the east to the west. God setteth up one, takes down another. So if we look at our life and we're asking God for direction, then we're looking for promotion within the regions or within the areas that God has kind of outlined for our lives. And so asking God for direction is very important. And seeking his direction, so that we will know whenever the opportunities come, which way do we go? So asking is, and continuing to ask until we have an answer. Now, I heard someone on, I think it was TBN or one of them, and they were talking about knowing the will of God. And it was very interesting to me because, you know, growing up and in college and Bible school and stuff, you know, when God says it, you do it, and then it's just, you know, it's all, you know, it's yes and no, and it's yes or no, and it's go forward. And this individual talked about how that confirmations along the way, okay, and how that God will, if you have a dream in your heart or have a desire to do certain things, that God will, you know, that these are God's desires, that God will then give confirmations along the way. And they use the story of a 747 landing at an airport. You have this huge plane coming in, and there's not just one light on the runway. There's a series of lights down the runway. And whenever we are looking at what God wants to do in our life, we're looking at how that we're going to land this big plane. We're going to take on this responsibility or go in this direction, and this is where God wants us to go. But he will give us confirmations along the way, so how to land the opportunity, how to land the plane. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I like that. So, and here we have Amaziah. He has this, you know, the battle's coming up, and a prophet is saying, don't take that 100,000 men, swallow your pride, lose the money, and God will make it up to you. So that's what they did. So the and Amaziah, verse 11, Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. So Amaziah goes to battle and he, you know, defeats them. And, you know, the crazy thing about in those days, there was no mercy. They killed 10,000 people in the battle. They captured 10,000 people, and they pushed 10,000 people off the cliff. They took the people that had surrendered, and they just pushed them over the cliff, and they all, you know, killed 10,000 more. So there were 20,000 people killed in the battle. Now, in our, my, you know, look at things, you know, well, you just can't let, you can't be, you know, where's mercy and grace and all that? Well, often in the Old Testament, It was like the right and wrong. There was the things that were for God and the things that were against God. And the enemies of Seir the enemy, they had their own gods. They had their own gods that they worshipped. And in those days, it was like God against God. All right? Whoever wins is the bigger God. And whoever wins is the mightier God. And so it's just like in Egypt, when the children of Israel left Egypt, Pharaoh thought he was a god. And so here's Pharaoh, the god of Egypt, and he and the sun god Ra are one. And here's Moses saying, no, the God who created all this is the God of heaven and earth. And so there's a battle between two gods. But Pharaoh isn't a god. But he thought he was. And so there was this battle between gods. And always, when the children of Israel were faithful to God, God gave them the victory. You know, when God is working for us, because he has the power to help, to cast down, to lift up, God has the power to do this. So whenever we're praying, we're not looking at the circumstance. We're looking at what is the will of God. What is it that God wants me to do? And so we're praying for understanding in this whole thing. And then after we pray for understanding, we go about living. Yeah. We go about making our decisions and doing things and waiting for God's will to be accomplished in the whole thing. So Amaziah, he goes along here and he does his thing. Now, our lesson goes to Uzziah and then comes back to Amaziah and Uzziah, but I'll just skip ahead. Amaziah won this battle. He kills 20,000 of the enemy. And do you know what he did? He took the gods of the people that he had killed, brought them back to Israel, and set them up as the gods who delivered this battle into his hands. And then, whenever he's doing all this, but Amaziah would not hear. So the people came to him and they said, you know, the prophets came and said, you can't do this. God is the one who gave you the victory, and you can't bring back these evil gods, these other gods, and worship them like they're the ones who gave you the victory. But Amaziah wouldn't hear it, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Eden. So Joash, king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah, and Judah was put to the worst before Israel. Judah destroyed Amaziah. You know, here he is, he's got 100,000, you know, that 100,000 men that he was going to take to go fight with him. Well, whenever he came back with, you know, all of his spoils from the battle with Seir, and then he started worshiping the god of Seir, these people that he conquered, God comes to Amaziah and says, you do that and you're going to lose everything. And he wouldn't hear it. So whenever we look at our life and think, well, how did God be? See, if we are grateful and thankful, we will not see this as our own accomplishments. We will understand that it is God who works in us and through us. So we're praying for God to give us the right words, the right thoughts, the right understanding, so that we would handle the situation correctly. And it's not wrong to say, yes, that's a good decision. It's not wrong for us to say, well, I sure blew that one. It's not wrong to face the reality of what we're doing. We have a very real God, and we have very real problems, and we make very real mistakes. But we also do things very well sometimes, or maybe most of the time. So it's all right to say that was a good decision, or that was, you know, God helped me to make that choice. And so what we're doing is giving thanks to God. I always did the, you know, well, if it was a good decision, God did it. And if it was a bad decision, it was mine. You know, but the thing is, what we thought was a bad decision may eventually end up being the right decision. We don't know how that happens. You see, whenever I left Katanning, you know, pastoring there, we did very well. I mean, you know, started a church with nothing, and we had well over 100 people, and it was growing well. We had lots of money, and 3 years, you know, we had 40 members, and, you know, just doing very well. But I felt God wanted me to leave. Why? There's no problem. Usually you leave when there's a problem, you know, but I didn't know that. I didn't know you had to have problems before you left somewhere, you know. So I left, and we went to this church and out east in northeastern Pennsylvania. And we went there, and everything was totally and completely wrong. We went there, it was all good for about a week, and then everything fell apart. Nothing was what it was said to be. I mean, we're just really disappointed because we were thinking of going and growing and doing all that stuff. So here I am 6 months into this, and it's like, this is the worst place on earth. I have to leave. So came here. And it was, you know, people were nice. And I remember the one lady said, well, if you had a beard, I couldn't vote for you because if you had a beard, that'd be wrong. So I came, and, you know, our idea was, well, we'll stay, you know, 2-3 years, 4 years, see what's going on, get it all together, and, you know, find someplace else. But that never happened. So what I thought was a mistake in going, you know, looking back at going to leaving one place, going to another, those were mistakes, ended up bringing us here, which was probably the biggest good blessing we've ever done in our life. But at the time, we were making, you know, we look back in the short run and say, oh, my, we really blew it. You know, people always say, why did you leave that church? Why did you leave Catania? It was doing so well. Don't know. Just felt it was the right thing to do. But coming here was the right thing to do. You know, because look at how many people now come to church. But, you know, this week, at least 2 individuals gave their heart to Christ. You know, and, you know, they're going to be in heaven in the next week or two. And, you know, how many times in the last 6 months or the last 35 years have people made a decision at the end of their life, you know, to know Christ? So how many people are sitting in heaven that came to Christ because of our ministry? All of you. Think. And that's more important than, you know, filling the church. I would like that to happen, you know, but I'm not against it. big churches have big problems. But you see, I have lots of wonderful people, so we have lots of wonderful people, yes. So anyhow, now we have Uzziah, and Uzziah is 16 years old when he began to reign. This is verse 26, 1 and 2. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehola of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. So he did the right things, okay? And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. So Zechariah is a prophet, and Uzziah is, he seeks God. He wants to do the will of God. And Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So when we think of what God wants us to do, God wants us to prosper. Well, prosper is not only prosper in, you know, goods and stuff, but prosper in our hearts and our minds and our relationships and in our ministry and our work for God, because only that which is done for God is going to last. So if we acquire wealth without God, then that's not going to make a difference in the kingdom of God. But if we acquire relationships based on our relationship with God, it's going to make a difference in their life. And so this is the idea of how that God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's in James. So Jesus promised, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure in heart means that before God, everything's okay. You know, God has helped me. God is working in my life. Everything's in a good place. So as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And seeking the Lord is the opposite of pride. Prosper signifies advancement, success in one's endeavors. Seeking God and obeying God's hand, obeying God go hand in hand with God's blessing. So we have that. And God, verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians and that dwelt in Gubala and the humans. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad and entered into Egypt and the strength in himself. So Uzziah, is his kingdom, his rule is going very well, and people are aware of what he has done, and he's built good relationships, and everything's going well. And he made in Jerusalem engines. I like this. Engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows with great stones with them. So he made catapults, and he made those bows that shoot large arrows out into the enemy. So he was quite ingenious in how that he developed his warfare and how that he was able to defend himself. Well, I go to Uzziah again. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. This is verse 26:16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. So he became so powerful and so big in his own eyes that he took on the responsibility of going in as a priest. The priests were the only ones in the law that were allowed to go into the holies of holies and offer incense to God, okay? So Uzziah, he decides that he's king, I can do whatever I want, and so he goes in there. Azariah, the chief priest, verse 20, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, what he did was, they tried to stop him. Don't do this. It's wrong. It's against God's law. But his pride got in the way of what he knew was right. And he went in and did the incense before God. And when he came out, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself, hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. So Uzziah became a leper. And the moment his pride brought him to the point of making a decision that broke God's law, and he was taking this upon himself. So the challenge, again, is that we recognize that God is with us and that God has brought us to this place in our life, and he wants us to have a good attitude. He wants us to be proud of who we are, what we do, what we accomplish, but we have to ask God to help us accomplish these things. We have to help, you know, ask God to recognize that it is his divine favor. God sits up one, takes down another. So we want God's help in everything that we do. Let his words be our words and his thoughts our thoughts, so that we know that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts greater than ours. So if we can allow ourselves permission, you know, to go beyond our pride and to ask God for his thoughts about what we see, what we do, we're going to have a different perspective of all the things that goes on in our life. Because we look at something and we say, oh, that's bad. And God says, no, that's perfect. That's good. Well, how can it be good? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in our message this morning. The new year. Bitter or better? So that's how we need to look and ask God for his thoughts and his help. Thoughts? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Samuel was supposed to show up. And Saul, he was becoming very powerful. And at the beginning of his kingdom, in the beginning of his reign, Saul was very, you know, God help me, God do this, God anoint. He was one of the prophets. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied with the prophets and everything else. But during his reign, he decided that, you know, if I make people happy and everybody loves me, then I'll have a great reign. I'll be a good king. Well, he started to allow his desire to make people happy to be greater than his desire to hear from God. And when God directly spoke to him to do certain things, he would think about it and he would say, well, if I do this and the people want me to do this, I'm going to do what the people want because they're the ones that are here and they're the ones that are going to like my reign. And it's, you know, and that was ended up being his pride about how people thought about him. And he ended up losing his kingdom. He ended up going nuts. Yeah, pride. Yeah. I and me. Yeah. So, but if we ask God, see, two people can do the same thing. One can be right, one can be wrong. Because if we do it from the right perspective and the right attitude, looking to the right ends, well, that's, you know, God will bless it. But if it's about who's going to see me and how they're going to think of me and how that I'm going to be appreciated and all that kind of stuff, it ends up going more to the pride side than it does God's side. And God doesn't have to have pride. He just is. He's God. And so he can do anything. So, and he knows that pride will destroy us. And we want to do the right things for the right reasons. And amen. Any other thoughts? Yeah, pride is, they're the wrong things. But, he desired worship. Yeah, we move out of his grace, which is out of his favor. Good thoughts. Anyone else? See, I should let you teach the lesson. That's good. Yeah, you can talk. Church can't talk. No, you can't talk in church. No. Yeah. So, you know how you can tell when a church is really an old building? There's two doors on the front. One is for women, one is for men. So if you look at a church and you see the front of it and there's two doors on it, you know it's an old building because the women had to go in one door and the men went in the other. Generally, the women's door went in and up to the upper place. Only the men sat on the floor, on the part. Yeah. So anyhow, that's pride, and pride goes before destruction. But pride is a hard word to understand because we have to have a good self-image. We have to see ourselves as an individual created by God. And we have to see that God is at work in our life to establish who we are. So it isn't like we have, things just come and go and we don't take care of them. It's that we are supposed to take care of what God has given us, as it is a gift from God. And so it isn't me building bigger barns. It's God helping me to use the kingdom of God and use what he's given me in a way that will be honoring to God. And so that's how, so pride is I did it all myself, and praise is that God has been doing this and working through me, and it's for his honor and glory, and he will lead me in how that I'm to go on with this. So. Pride is looking in the mirror and seeing us. Pride is looking at the things that are accomplishing and seeing us, and praise is looking into things that we're accomplishing and saying thanks to God. There. That's a simple definition. Pride is looking at what we have and saying, look what I've done, and praise is looking at all those same things and saying, look what God has done. So, look at our life, look what God has done. No. Yeah. Nothing wrong with building big barns. It just means, what's that?
You have more to give.
Yes, more to give and more to serve. So look what God has done. He's blessed our crops. Father, thank you for the blessings of the day, and thank you, Lord, for your word and your Holy Spirit that helps us understand a right attitude about us and about what we do and what we have and the talents and gifts that we possess. We pray, God, for your direction and your word to be before us, and God, give us your thoughts, we pray, and give us the strength to act upon them, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hi.